If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Charles Gardner with the second edition of our Milwaukee Bucks podcast. I'm here with Matt Velasquez, and we're discussing the second week of training camp and the preseason. We have the Bucks' first preseason game on Tuesday night in Chicago as the Bucks lost to the Bulls 105-95. But Matt, as we know, in the preseason, everybody gets to play, and it's not exactly a regular game. But
oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, when I saw the second half starting lineup for the Bucks, I was like, oh man, this is definitely the preseason. You know, a bunch of those guys, they're not going to be around for much longer. You know, you're going with a group that just is just totally, you know, away from what the Bucks are and all the exciting players they have. I'm sure since you were there in person, that second half must have been a little bit rough.
Well, it was, but you know, we had been warned by Jason Kidd before the game. He said that none of the starters would play more than 20 minutes. And when I looked at the halftime box score, those four regulars, Michael Carter-Williams, Chris Middleton, Greg Monroe, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, each were at 17 minutes. I think maybe Michael was at 15, but the other three were at 17 minutes. And of course, they didn't play in the second half. So he was true to his word. But Chris Middleton told me in the locker room after the game that he had no idea that he would not play in the second half. It kind of surprised him. So that's the way the preseason goes sometimes. And the way Kidd operates, I learned last year, is then he'll increase someone else's minutes the next game. I think he wanted to get a good look at Rashad Vaughn, put him in the starting lineup. And by the way, he looked very good. He was smooth. He hit some three-point shots. He wasn't intimidated. Afterwards in the locker room, he laughed and he said that, hey, I find out real fast that I need to get a little stronger while guarding some of these NBA players. So, but he obviously had a good debut. And the other good news is Damian Inglis played 28 minutes, and he had not been fully healthy in Las Vegas during summer league, but he looked much better, I thought, last night. 11 points, 9 rebounds, but he was just moving better as well. He told me today that he thought he watched the tape and he thought he played terrible.
Well, I mean, I think talking about Vaughn and Inglis, I mean, I think that's a savvy move by Kidd. It's something that, you know, as a guy who played the game before, I think he knows how important it is just to throw some guys out into the fire. I mean, Rashad Vaughn being a first round pick, you know, he needs to get out there. He needs to play. He needs to, you know, be able to compare himself to NBA players. And so, yes, he had a good game. He scored 20 points. You know, it built some confidence. But, you know, like you said, he now knows, you know, this isn't summer league anymore. This is a real game. This
right.
It's still the preseason, sure. But, you know, this is, you know, an NBA game at the United Center against NBA players. And, you know, when you start and when you get out there and you see that, you know, it's a whole different level. And I think with Damian Inglis, you know, when you're hampered by an injury in summer league, you know, and that's the first time people get to see you, I think he probably spent a lot of his time since then really wanting to get back onto the court. And so now he gets this chance to go out there and play big minutes, you know, in a preseason game, you know, still a preseason game, but get out there against a real NBA squad. And now he can play at full strength and show what he can do. And I think that that's as much for him as it is for showing everybody else, hey, this guy can play.
Yeah, no doubt. And he was healthy in Las Vegas. He was still favoring. He had pain in that foot. He had two surgeries on that right ankle and, of course, didn't play 1 minute last season. So I think it was a big, big time for him to be out there. And he was guarding Jimmy Butler for part of the second half or in the third quarter. So all those experiences are very good. for both these guys. So that was kind of the story of the game last night. And, you know, again, a couple of reserves, Grievous Vasquez, John Henson, they didn't play that many minutes. But again, this is the way Jason often does. And then there'll be a game where they will play more minutes. Greg Monroe, only 17 minutes, but he showed that there's a different low post offense now with the Bucks just in that short time. 6 points, 4 rebounds. He had some nice moves, and he showed a glimpse of what's to come with the Bucks. And the Bucks held the Bulls to 37 points in that first half when they had their regulars out there. So I think that was an encouraging sign for them as well.
Yeah, and talking about signs of things to come, you know, I obviously wasn't there. I was following the game, you know, in a different way than you were, obviously being at the United Center. But signs of things to come, I mean, I think we have to talk about some of the highlight reel plays that came out of that game, especially that Chris Middleton dunk over Jimmy Butler, and then that I have no idea how Giannis did that dunk from behind the backboard, left-handed dunk at that. You know, I think, you know, in kind of looking over the internet and highlights and, you know, different places, you know, over the course of today, you know, I've seen those highlights a whole bunch of places and a whole bunch of times, you know, and in some circumstances, you know, there's not even a final score there. No one really cares about a preseason game. They don't care what the score is. All they see is, oh man, the Bucks are doing some things that are pretty entertaining. And that's going to be a hallmark of the team this year. I think that's what they've been building, you know, with the players they have, you know, especially, you know, Giannis, Jabari, you know, Chris Middleton. You know, those guys are exciting players to watch. They do kind of explosive things, and that's one of the things that the Bucks really have going for them.
Yeah, that left-handed dunk was something, and it by Giannis, and it was overshadowed a bit by the one-handed throwdown from Chris over Jimmy Butler, and that really was a highlight play. And it was very interesting what Chris said after the game, that he remembered the two blocks that Butler had on him in the playoffs last year and that those had embarrassed him. And he said, so I was going up strong. And I thought those were strong words from Chris, showing that he wants to compete and he wants to be in that class with Jimmy Butler. And they renewed their playoff rivalry, as I wrote today. It didn't take long. Casey Johnson wrote in the Chicago Tribune that Butler had one speed. You know, he's back at full speed right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you saw in the game. So it made for an interesting first half and certainly some highlight reel plays, as you said, Matt.
And now, it's interesting to kind of hear Chris with that chip on his shoulder, because he's normally kind of not that type of talker when you talk to him in the locker room. He's quiet. He's reserved. He knows what he's saying. He calculates his words very closely. And to hear him kind of say, hey, you know what? You know, playing against Butler last year, getting my shots blocked, you know, that's got me on edge. I want to be able to go up against him and be considered in that same, you know, that same level. And, you know, and it was embarrassing. And so that he wants to kind of take this into a new season and really kind of get some revenge, so to speak. That's, you don't hear that a lot from Chris Middleton.
No, those were some great comments in the locker room after the game, and I thought showed how the rivalry is getting stronger, even though there were so many players missing last night. No Derrick Rose, no Gasol, no Jabari, if you want to talk from the Bucks side. And we can talk a little bit about Jabari Parker, Matt. He, you know, came out the other day and said he could care less about Chicago and that he hoped he would maybe play his first game back after the knee injury, after his ACL surgery in Milwaukee, because everyone has been so loyal to him.
Yeah, that kind of struck me as kind of an odd thing to say. I mean, I don't think anybody in Milwaukee would take it as a disloyal thing for him to, you know, make his return in the first preseason game, which just happens to be on the road. That's kind of a strange sentiment and a kind of a weird reason to miss a game. That's kind of the way I took it when he first mentioned that. It was just kind of strange to me.
Well, I think it just genuinely reflects some of his feelings, but I also have learned that he's not that close to returning to the game floor, I believe. Of course, we don't know exactly when that will be, and Coach Kidd said there was no timetable for that, as the Bucks have kind of said consistently throughout the summer and now beyond. I think they don't want to put the pressure on a certain time or a certain game that he will be back. The encouraging news is that he's gone through all the practices, he's feeling good, but I think there's no rush. They're going to take it slowly, and maybe it'll be closer to the regular season opener when we see him on the court for a game. And I think also the Bucks are hoping, he will become a little stronger. There are tests they're doing, I know, with him and the trainers. They want to make sure all those tests are at a level before they put him back. And you heard Jabari say that in the interview that we did with him the other day at the training center, when he said, I don't want to go in and then have to come back out. When I come back, I want to be 110%. So you can certainly understand that sentiment.
Yeah, that kind of fits more in line with the general expectation that we had over the summer, that they weren't going to rush anything. I know John Hammond has said that, Jason Kidd said that. There's no rush. They don't need to get him back by a certain time. And it seemed like, if he was cleared, if he was able to play, there wouldn't be a reason for him not to, in the first preseason game. But if the situation is that he isn't ready to play yet, or hasn't been cleared to play, then that makes sense too. I mean, if he's not cleared, there's no reason to try and force any issues right now. I mean, it's all about his long-term health. The team doesn't need him right now.
Right, and I think there's a difference between practice. They're building him up in practice. He's going, but as far as the games, and they're holding off. But I think it also will be interesting to see when he does come back, how many minutes he plays in the game. So it's going to be step by step as we go along in the preseason. The Bucks play Saturday night at home against Detroit, but I wouldn't look for him then, from what I'm understanding.
And whenever he does start in a preseason game, if he does play in the preseason at all, I mean, you can't expect more than 10, 15 minutes in any given game. They're not going to push him too hard. I mean, limiting starters to 20 minutes, I think that applies to healthy guys. I think you have to push that number down lower, even encroaching into the regular season. I mean, it's like I said before, it's not worth it to push him too hard. He needs to get back at his own pace until he's ready to do everything 100%, and that's when he can kind of get going. But until then, definitely stagger that.
Yeah, and Jason Kidd has said, from the start of training camp that, look, we're just so happy that he's back. It's 9 months since the injury, and so he's really made a lot of progress to be at this point. So I think there's no doubt about that. And he was on the bench cheering, and last night he was down in Chicago and did his work in the pregame as well. I guess the other thing, Matt, that we should discuss, it's a little older news, but happened last week during training camp. During the Madison portion of the camp, the first week, was the four-year, $44 million extension for John Henson. And we knew all summer that John's agent, Jim Tanner, and the Bucks had been working on contract negotiations, so it wasn't stunning by any means. But the fact that they got it done a month before the deadline, actually, I think was encouraging. Henson mentioned that in his remarks. He thanked each owner by name. So you could tell that he was very delighted to have this done. And I think it was also a good deal for the Bucks when you think about the salary numbers going up here in the next few years. And they got a four-year, $44 million deal. It's not a starter, but it's a player that John Hammond has identified as one of the six core players. So if they believe that, you've got to think the Bucks are pretty happy with this deal. Now it's up to Henson to perform and show that the Bucks were right about this.
Yeah, and one of the first things that I thought of was, when I saw those numbers, 4 years, $44 million, I said, well, that's the Larry Sanders contract. That's the amount of money that he got paid. And I remember it was kind of when I was starting here in Milwaukee that he got that contract. Yes. And everyone around here was saying, hey, that that's a big deal. They're really putting a lot of money into this guy. He's going to be the centerpiece of their team. And now you hear 4 years, $44 million. You're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, that's kind of an average NBA salary going forward, as the salary cap's going to pop up to $90 million and up to $108 million that it's projected to be at within the next couple of years. And so when you look at this contract in those terms, you know, it's going into a future NBA, a new NBA that's going to be a very different look. And, you know, things that I've read and have heard have kind of said that John Henson might have left some money on the table here, because he could have played out his current contract. And next summer isn't the big summer, you know, that everybody's been waiting for in terms of free agency, but it's a big summer. And there's gonna be a lot of money out there that teams will have, you know, in their pockets. You know, you're looking at teams that might have, you know, $15, $20, $25 million in cap space, you know, coming into this next summer. And there's not going to be enough guys, you know, to take up all that money or to earn that much money. So, sure. So you look at a guy like John Henson, and he's been a role player. He's come off the bench. Yes, he's put up good, you know, per game numbers with blocks and with his defensive presence. And if you extrapolate his numbers to per 36 or 48 minutes, they've been very respectable, and he played well in that playoff series last year, you know, but he's a key reserve type guy. And so, you know, when you look at that, maybe next summer, if he had kind of stayed away from the bargaining table, he could have been in for an even bigger payday than the one he got. But, you know, I think one of the things that you reported and that he said, you know, in Madison last week was that he wanted to be stable. You know, he wanted to know that he had done and have something that he could predict and, you know, be able to control the variables. And if you play out the season and hope for the big payday, you're not in control of the variables as much. And, you know, you don't know if you're going to get injured. And sure, some guys get injured and they still get contracts, you know. But, you know, when you're in John Henson's situation, I can understand wanting to, you know what's in front of you and know what you have locked up.
And gave him some security as well. Yeah, I think it was security for both sides. And a deal that could benefit both sides. And certainly his play in the playoffs helped him get this deal.
Oh, no doubt.
Don't you think, Matt, because he really stepped up, averaged 8 points and over 8 rebounds, and played a big role. And he hadn't always played that much of a role in during parts of the season. And he said that. He said that he's seen the ups and downs in his 3 years with the Bucks. He knows. And hopefully for the Bucks and for him, he's going to be moving up as we go through this season and then into the contract extension.
Yeah, and it's interesting about the playoffs. There were times in that Bulls series last year that you couldn't take him off the floor. I mean, it'd be unreasonable to take him out because, you know, Zaza Pachulia wasn't, you know, bringing you anything special. You know, and they needed to have a big guy in the paint who could, you know, play both ends of the court. And he was doing that. He was holding his own against, you know, Pau Gasol, Joakim Noah, all those guys. And they were battling. And, you know, the kind of physical type battling that you don't normally see from John Henson.
No, that was what was encouraging to see. Gus Johnson made reference to that when he said one of the Bucks playoff games that he watched last year, he saw Noah and Henson almost get in a fight, and he said he thought, wow, okay, these Bucks are a little different than maybe the old Bucks. So it was definitely encouraging for John, and he didn't play a lot last night, but again, he was very active, and it'll be interesting to see how he plays in tandem with Greg Monroe or in different lineups and how the coaches will use him. They go big. There'll be sometimes if they go big, and they might even have Monroe and Henson in there together. Could be very interesting.
I mean, going big could mean really big with this team. You know, Monroe, Henson,
Giannis.
I mean, who do you put at the three? Giannis?
Yeah.
I mean, you could theoretically, you know, do something like MCW, Giannis at the two, Jabari at the three, Henson at the four. I don't know if Jason Kidd will ever do that, but
yeah,
I mean, that's about as big a lineup as you can get in this game.
That's a jumbo lineup. We may have to find a name for that. We may have to find a name better than a jumbo, so we'll think about that.
Yeah, but you were talking about, you know, Gus Johnson and in his comments on the new Bucks, different Bucks. You know, you were in the house for FanFest on Saturday when they unveiled the alternate uniforms and the alternate court, which no one in the NBA does. And so yes. I have some, you know, opinions on that, but I want to hear, you know, kind of what you thought seeing those things in person and hearing the reactions from the fans over at the Bradley Center.
Well, I think the fans liked it. The only uniform, black uniform, was a Bengal was wearing it, right? So it'll be fun to see when they come out and actually the players have those uniforms. And these are the Adidas uniforms. And what I've been told is they're pretty scarce right now. I don't think you can find one around town right now, but eventually you will be able to. And Bengal might have been wearing one of the few uniforms, but I think they look sharp. Obviously, they're different. Not having the Milwaukee letters across, but just the Bucks, the deer logo, and the number. And so I think they're very sharp. One thing that's interesting for fans to know is they will be worn for four home games, and they're going to have these Fear the Deer nights where they will wear these uniforms. I think the first one is against the Clippers in December. And I was told that will be the first time they wear them. But they also can wear these jerseys on the road, much as they wore those Christmas jerseys. You remember those, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of those red Christmas jerseys.
They don't really do anything for me.
No.
I mean, they're not bad. They just kind of existed.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of those, and I think these will be much better, and they will wear these on the road. I can't remember how, but I think it's maybe up to 12, 14 times. I don't know the exact number, but I've been told they will not wear them on the road until they've had that first home game. But now this becomes the alternate, and if you're talking that jersey against the red ones, I think this is very sharp and an improvement. And by the way, Matt, I thought the green Rhodes, which made their debut, the new ones last night in Chicago, they look sharp.
Yeah, I mean, these new uniforms, I mean, I don't know exactly what everybody, you know, in the public thinks about them, but when I've talked to other people in the business and I've, you know, kind of looked at other sites where they critique, you know, team uniforms and logos, they're getting high marks. I mean, people seem to like what the Bucks are doing. I know I do. I like the new logo. I have friends who don't live in Milwaukee, who have no reason to ever pay attention to the Bucks, you know, who have said, oh man, like, you know, you cover the Bucks, I love that new logo, I love those new jerseys, you know, who, you know, I have to take them at face value because they have no reason to be saying that other than they actually must like what's going on. And I think the new logo and the new jerseys and the alternate court, I think those are signs of what the ownership is trying to do with this team. They're trying to market the heck out of this team and do things that make them unique, make them interesting. You know, we got an email earlier this week that they're upgrading, you know, the fan experience at a couple different, you know, clubs and areas of the Bradley Center. You know, so they want to get out of that building, but while they're there, they're going to put the money in to make the fan experience better, to upgrade the fan areas so that they can, you know, have new exciting experiences. They're not just kind of leave that building alone. If they're going to be there, they want people to come and they want to give them reasons to come. And I think in addition to, you know, with these Fear the Deer nights they're having, you know, I think that's a very solid marketing strategy. Get those four games where they're going to wear those jerseys, where if you want to, you know, check out that alternate court that they're going to play on, you've got to go to those games.
And, yes.
And, you know, since you don't see that around the NBA, you know, it creates buzz. I mean, it creates, you know, a story that national outlets, you know, like ESPN and Fox and all the other national, you know, outlets, they want to pick up. They're going to spread that around and say, hey, you know, the Bucks are doing this new and different thing. And obviously they'll have opinions whether they like it or not. But I don't think I've heard any bad ones. So far with what the new owners are trying to get going and the ways that they're trying to, you know, market to this team. And I think that I've seen a couple comments on our site that they didn't like people didn't like the black jerseys. They would have liked a cream colored alternate. And, you know, I think that's a valid, you know, discussion point. Personally, I think the black kind of fits more into their motif of wanting to, you know, fear the deer and all that. I think the cream could be interesting, you know, but it doesn't really kind of fit what they're trying to do. You know, but I also think that the NBA crowd is generally skews younger. I think there's a lot of college age kids and you know, young professionals, and I think the black might you know, be more interesting to them. I'd be open to hearing what people have to say, but I know personally I like the black uniforms. I like the new logos, and I think that they're definitely an improvement on what the Bucks have had.
Yeah, last night at the United Center, when I was walking into the arena, they had the big Bulls logo. They have new Bulls logos on their court this year, but the big Bulls logo down the side and the Bucks logo, you know, on the outside of the United Center.
Oh, yeah, when you're walking from the media parking lot, yeah.
Correct, and it was pretty impressive. I thought, whoa, okay, this looks like a different thing. So it was impressive, and it had that new Bucks deer logo, obviously, and the Bulls is certainly one of the more impressive logos in the NBA, you'd have to say. So, yeah, it will be interesting. But what it shows, Matt, I agree, it shows the owners, they're putting their imprint on this franchise, from the colors to the court to the players to everything in the arena to the new arenas that will be being built downtown. It's a complete makeover, and you know, they're certainly wanting to have success. They're working to have success. They're doing everything that they can to upgrade the fan experience, as well as what they feel will be the product on the court.
Well, and I think there's definitely, you know, interest around the state. I've always joked with you that this summer I covered a lot of preps. I did a little tour of Wisconsin, and yeah, you know, I hit La Crosse and Madison and Appleton, and everywhere I went, I saw Buck stuff, you know, and that was not necessarily the case in the past. I mean, I haven't been around here for the longest time, but anecdotally that wasn't the case.
No, you wouldn't have seen it, I don't think. And, but you know, a year or two ago, no question.
You know, going over to La Crosse, you know, for state track, you know, there were a bunch of people in Bucks gear. When I was at state baseball in Appleton, Bucks gear. When I was over at Whistling Straits for the PGA Championship, I saw mostly Packers, but after Packers, it was Bucks. You know, in terms of professional teams from Wisconsin, I think Brewers, you know, I didn't see as many Brewers hats and shirts at Whistling Straits as I did Bucks. And, you know, obviously I wasn't keeping track, but that's just kind of what I saw.
Yeah, no, there's definitely been a transformation with that. And I'm sure they want to sell more of those, more of the gear. And it'll be interesting when they get all these uniforms in. They're so new that, you know, How do the sales of the jerseys go? And we'll try to watch that.
Yeah, and you always wonder. I mean, it's hard for a player, any player really, to break into that top 10 in the NBA in terms of jersey sales, even the top 20. But with the groundswell around the Bucks and with the young core that they have that people are excited about, I'm interested to see if any of their players, and which one, might register in the national, you know, jersey sales, you know, spotlight. I want to see if anybody gets up there. I don't know if they do, you know, but it'd be interesting to see if that happens. I mean, I don't know if it would be Giannis or Jabari, or who knows.
I was going to say Giannis or Jabari would be probably the two that you would think would have the best chance to move up the charts. So we'll definitely take a look at that. But okay, Matt, well, we'll come back next week. Next week, we've got a few more things to talk about. The Bucks will have played their first preseason home game against Detroit on Saturday. And next Tuesday, they're going to Cleveland, where they will play the Cavaliers. And there's been a lot of interesting news around the Cavaliers, the Tristan Thompson contract situation.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron, obviously, saying that he doesn't have time to wait now, that it's time to win. And so and a couple old Bucks in Cleveland, Richard Jefferson and Mo Williams. So I think we'll definitely have some more things to talk about next week.
Definitely. And for any of you following along, you know, Charles and I will be doing this Bucks podcast weekly. And if you'd like to subscribe via iTunes, you can do that. We're in the iTunes podcast store, and you can find us there, or you can go to jsonline.com, and we'll be up there each week.
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
If you- you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.